water hippie?
You want to know this water hippie?
If you don't mind being taped,
Who are you? Are you in any way affiliated with some law enforcement agency?
No, I'm a former homeless person. I may be homeless again because I've lived on disability for years just in rooms, San Francisco. And I'm sick and tired of the way society treats our homeless. So I want to do just the opposite and continue giving respect, give everybody a webpage. My focus is on gay rights, so I give special attention to lesbian and gay homeless when I find them. But in general, I'm homeless. I'm going to give a webpage. I'm going to get the sound files onto the web. I'm really good at finding stuff for free. And I'm doing this all on my own money. What extra money I have, or disability, not much, but I've taken homeless people out to eat. I've met some fucking incredible people. I expected to meet really cool people, but I was not ready for the incredible graciousness of some people that I have met here. But anyway, we're talking about me, but I'm letting you know that no one to worry about.
Okay. Cool.
You can be anonymous if you want. You can say whatever you want, and I'll put the voice on the web.
Cool.
So, are you basically houseless or homeless out in the streets or whatever?
Currently, I'm staying in a house just because I met this girl at the place where I work,
mm-hmm.
and she let me stay with her.
Really nice.
Yeah.
Great.
And I'm going down to L.A. where I will be homeless until I'm sort of doing the, like, voluntarily homeless thing. Like, I'm traveling. I decided to hitchhike across the country.
I was voluntarily homeless in 73. I had some problems
with
living homeless. But looking back, now that I'm 50, I see my loyalty is to the streets.
Right. Yeah. I'm homeless because I want to be. Because I want to travel. And I don't want to stay in hotels because I don't have the money to stay in hotels.
A lot of right-wing and narrow-minded types would say, well, see, they would take what you say and say all the homeless are homeless only because they want to be. No, you're more an exception than the rule.
Oh, I am an exception to the rule.
But we need people who have it together to be out in the streets and help those less fortunate, too.
I'm homeless because I want to travel. If I didn't want to travel, I'd have a home.
Well, you strike me as someone who also has acts of kindness to people out in the streets less fortunate.
Of course. My duty is human rights.
So, no, it's more than just an adventure. It's part of it. It's more. You have a holistic attitude, I'd say. What's your name again?
Misty,
very pleased to meet you, I'm Zeke.
Nice to meet you.
You want to talk a little bit about you? What's your name again?
Nugget,
okay. And why are you out in the streets?
I decided to take, like, a vow of poverty sort of thing, and it stuck. I was working a corporate job a long time ago.
I've been on a vow of poverty since 1973.
Yeah, well, I find it's really the only ethical way to go. Everything else can basically contribute to everything I hate.
I know. What happened in the 60s, we were right. We might have been mocked and put down, and might have been a lot of corruption going on, but we said the system is evil, when they did this underground comics to mock what we would become in the future, our society's become that, we were right. And we shall continue and win. It's just a shame.
That's why I'm going down to LA.
It's a shame. Great for you. That's great. Yeah. It's a shame that we have more tragedies have to happen before we evolve to that level, but it's going to happen this time around.
Well, I'm cynical in the sense that I don't think that winning on either side is really a practical goal. I think I try to look at myself as the resistive force to oppression rather than even a revolutionary, really. I mean, I guess...
You don't like the term winning for either side, right?
Yeah, because to win, I would be subjugating my enemy and putting them into the same slavery that I've been offered.
Well, I don't put such a heavy connotation to the word winning, but I respect your definition. Because I know Michael McGee, have you met him yet? He's sometimes called Tommy Toes. Anyway, a really outgoing guy, just very youthful and vibrant. He's 50. He just turned 51, but he looks like he's 24, and he's this great musician. He doesn't want to be called street person, so I use counterculture in his presence.
Yeah.
But he does so much good for different these homeless people. He's just such outreach and so forth. Do you want to... Where are you from?
I grew up in Texas. Didn't really... Basically, Texas told me that if I wanted to be live my lifestyle, which pretty much means I take a reckless approach towards being an anarchist.
Uh-huh. Well, you know what my thing is?
I'd stay out of jail by leaving the state.
You know, one of my things is, when in Rome, vandalize.
yeah. My plan is, as they say, as you know, Babylon falls, I plan to be dancing around and piping around like Nero.
Well, great. We're just carrying on a great tradition. And I don't think it originated from the 60s. I think the 60s free speech movement was a next evolution in a cycle
went
back to the 20s and 30s with the socialist movement and the labor riots and so forth.
Yeah, but when the socialist movement is you know, literally squashed by the government at every opportunity, of course you have to have a constant revolution rather than, I think a goal in some ways can lead you astray, in that you really have to change your goal every single day in order to succeed, not win.
So where were you born and raised, can I ask?
Washington, D.C.
Washington, D.C., so two different, completely different states, areas. I was to D.C. once in 85 to stand by a Vietnam veteran's side. He shot himself in front of the wall and survived. We fell in love. It was my lover, Randolph Taylor. Either passed on, 93, or disappeared, but D.C. is like where my spiritual growth really catapulted.
Yeah.
And I came back to more.
It's a cool city.
Yeah, in many ways it is, yeah.
The people there aren't that great. I mean, they're not... If you like yuppies...
I don't.
Yeah, if you're either a yuppie or you live in the ghetto, D.C.'s a great place, but, like... anywhere in between, they don't like hippies very much.
Oh, okay. Well, that's probably what, for 99% of this country anymore. Same thing with gay people. It's just ridiculous. The hatred goes on.
Well, rainbow and rainbow, I mean.
Yeah, I know. Well, I don't know. What's your favorite flavor?
Ice cream? Chocolate.
I didn't say ice cream. It's just flavor.
Flavor.
okay. I just tried to think of something else to ask questions or whatever. Most people, I told them, they just want to talk and go to the stories, and some people have to figure out what to talk about.
What story do you want? I mean,
I don't know.
I can tell you about hitchhiking across the country.
Yeah, go ahead.
I graduated high school and decided that I pretty much just was bored of D.C.
Uh-huh.
And I walked up to my room, and in my bedroom I saw a book of Jack Kerouac's On the Road lying on the floor.
Oh, great.
And I decided that's what I wanted to do for the summer. So I packed a couple changes of clothes into a backpack, took all the money I had, which was $77, went out on the road and stuck out my thumb.
Wonderful. Well, do you know the Cafe Mediterranean on Telegraph Avenue? That's where Allen Ginsberg sat when he was composing Howl.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
One of the things I'm proud of is that he was a gay person who basically was one of the several people in the Beat movement who catapulted this next cycle.
Yeah, I love Allen Ginsberg.
But I didn't find this out. When I first came out here, was in the street.
I smell that too.
I was in the streets homeless, little hippy-dippy, going all around here, and I would go to Cafe Med, and I met my first lover at Cafe Med. That table is still there. He has since probably died. But he wasn't my first love. Well, honey, he wasn't my first love. He was my first consummated love. My first love was a wonderful human being. But I only found out about a year and a half ago that Allen Ginsberg also hanged out there. I really appreciated knowing that.
Wow.
You know, as a gay activist and stuff like that. So how about, how about telling something scary that happened to you on the road?
Something scary that happened?
Yeah, I like spooky stories.
Okay, you want a spooky story?
Yeah.
Well, let's see. I was in Minneapolis, Minnesota, and I had just gotten into the city, and I was in completely the wrong part of town, and I didn't know it. Like, I didn't know where I was supposed to be. All I knew was that
What time of year was this?
It was about a month ago.
Okay.
A month and a half. No, probably around a month and a half ago.
Well, at least it wasn't dead of winter.
Well, yeah. I shouldn't have been outside then, but, like, yeah. And, all I knew is that I was in a neighborhood where I was the only white person, and it looked really ghetto.
Uh-huh.
And coming from D.C. and knowing the ghetto places are not the great places for white girls to be, like, I was trying to get out of it. And I go over to a bus stop, and I ask the guy at the bus stop, I was like, excuse me.
So, like, in every direction you looked, it was ghetto. You didn't know which way to walk.
I had no idea.
Wow.
Like, I saw skyscrapers to one side, but I just didn't know where I was going.
Uh-huh.
So I asked this guy, I was like, excuse me, which bus can take me, like, downtown?
And this bus can get me out of here.
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much. And he points one way. So I'm like, okay. And I go and get on the bus, and, like, it's getting dark. And I'm getting on this bus, and it drives, and I wait for, like, skyscrapers to appear, and they don't. And eventually, like, I just... I